Since when has that ever stopped us?
What do you mean?
Not having the lyrics for a song.
Well, you don't want to be inventing lyrics, do you?
Well, we know some. Go on, go on. Give me some.
The only line I know is strawberry fields forever. Do, 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 do. You know, they were tripping balls when they did that. I mean, we know from being out in that place, but they were...
Oh, we're going to be back there soon.
Yeah, go back here in a couple of weeks. But those guys were, like the Beatles were, they were fucking on another, you know, Yellow Submarine. That whole album was, they were just at ever next level.
Next
high
level.
As kites. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most amount of songs that they ever wrote.
Was that the Ashram?
Was that, but that was all wrote at the Ashram.
Was
and
it?
The most of, yeah, all, there was, they wrote, I think it was 32, I could be burned on the hill for it, 32 or 28 songs in the Ashram, and then they came home, and that was the last time they were together overseas.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they were never together overseas after again. That point. Then they broke up and, you know, Yoko got blamed for, you know, taking John.
I don't know all the details. We don't have Simon here.
Who
did we have a podcast with Simon? I think we... I don't know.
No, we didn't. That's not a
we
bad,
probably need to do
not
that.
Not a bad podcast.
Because
right there.
Because he had some, like, he when we went to India, he just took them through that ashram. And
it was
just
actually quite fucking magical.
Everything.
Like, it was sitting there listening to this guy who just knew every piece of history about the Beatles.
Beatles, yeah.
And he was in their ashram and he was walking around, like, showing us photographs of. And we're standing in buildings and photographs of the Beatles in those buildings, sitting around with in the full garb, you know?
Yeah.
In the full, Hindu garb.
Do you remember that first time we went to that ashram?
I do remember.
Do you remember?
Who was with us?
Just me and you. Remember we went to Rishikesh after one of the trips one time?
Yeah.
And it took us it felt like a week to get up there, and it was probably about 24 hours, but it was... Like, that was painful.
It's funny that we...
And then, remember, we walked backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards because Indians giving us directions. We went
lost.
Up and down Rishikesh.
Trying to find
all
it.
Down, trying to find it. And then finally, we found it. Had to pay a little bit of bakshish to get in there. And then...
And the guy goes, be careful, be very careful of the elephants. And I'm like, what do you mean? There's wild elephants in here, they'll trample you. I'm like, really? He goes, mate, I'm telling you, there's wild elephants in here. And there fucking was wild elephants roaming around. And wild elephants can be angry. They will trample a human.
Oh, that was intense because we had spent a lot of time getting up there. And then we spent a full day trying to find the fucking place.
It was scary as well. It was spooky. But you know what I was dreaming about last night? I was dreaming about the pods. Remember the pods? You'd walk up the pathway and there was these like pods that were like, they had like some sort of tap on the top of them, and you went inside, there was like you could go inside and there was an upstairs in them. You went inside and the sadhus lived downstairs and meditated upstairs and the pods were taking water from the Ganges and pouring it on top of the pod to keep them cool in summertime.
You dream about weird shit.
I know.
That was random.
But isn't it fucking weird?
And now we're talking about it today.
And now we're talking about it today.
We haven't talked about it in a while.
No, but it was very, very cool. So speaking of tripping balls. we went and had a DMT experience a couple of months ago. And I just wanted to be able to talk about it. You did as well. We wanted to get on here and talk about the actual experience itself. And the first time I had heard about DMT was from a client many, many years ago who came to me and said to me, hey, man, have you done any DMT? And I'm like, no, dude,
really?
I don't.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was Christian.
Oh, really?
Christian came to me and said to me, hey, man, have you done any DMT? And I'm like, what's DMT? And he's like, dimethyltryptamine. And I'm like, well, what is it? He goes, well, it opens the pineal gland. And I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, man, it opens the pineal gland and you have this complete out-of-body experience. Yeah. And he said, it was mind-blowing. And I was like, nah, dude, I've done my drug days. I'm not doing that anymore. Da, 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 da. And I wasn't a big tripper. I wasn't big into LSD and stuff when I was, you know, when I was partying. But I said, so where are you guys getting it? And he goes, there's a woman in the Subiaco markets that sells pot puree. And she's selling it as part of the pot.
Really?
Puree. Yeah. So they were going and buying DMT, and then eventually it was made illegal, and the cops turned up and told the woman, you can't be selling this anymore. So she stopped selling it. But it used to be.
That was a long time ago.
Oh, it was probably 20 years ago.
It's a long time ago.
It's a fucking long time ago. Yeah. But the funny thing is, it was being sold in the local markets on a Sunday. But so then obviously over the years, you know, you and I tried some plant medicine a couple of years ago, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. And my experience of that was like, that was a real, very, very cool awakening. Very, very cool.
I think it was a nice little way to, for me personally, to get involved in the plant medicine stuff. Like that, the way I got introduced to it was a lovely little gentle sort of
introduction. But I think for me, it was the fact that suddenly you were respecting the use of plant medicine. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like you were drinking it in the car park of a Coles party before you go into a fucking rave. Do you know what I mean?
And, yeah.
And
you like know. You became respectful and intentional with what you were doing and why.
Yeah.
Actually listening to a podcast at the moment about plant medicine and how it's helping people and stuff like that. But anyway.
Yeah, it's brilliant. As well as being
talking on a podcast about it.
It's a huge thing that's happening globally at the moment.
And can I tell you one thing I learned on that podcast quickly? What psychedelic means. The psych is like life or the soul and delic is revelation. So it's like a revelation of your mind or the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like being revealed to you what you may not have seen.
Mm-hmm.
When you're using psychedelic,
So and I mean,
that was, I thought that was.
I think that's fucking awesome because if you think about that, you're learning the light of the soul, right?
Yeah.
That's why humans are called humans because the hue represents the light of man,
right?
Human. So psychedelics are about you expanding outside of and into that what we call the hue, which is the light being that you actually are. And so when I think the introduction to using, and we're saying psychedelics, but using plant medicines for the purpose of exploring your consciousness, because we just, because it's like, I could just fucking go down this, talk about this for ages, but you're exploring your consciousness because that's what you are. You are consciousness, but doing it in a really respectful way was very cool. Do you know what I mean? So my experience of, plant medicines was to do that in a really, really respectful way with people who understood what to do and how to do it and how to actually get you into that state where you are no longer your body. Well, you are, but you aren't your body and you're experiencing your consciousness. So that was really, really fucking cool for me. I absolutely loved that and I had a couple of sessions doing that. The only thing I didn't really like about it was the sickening feeling. That was the only thing. I don't like being sick. I don't like feeling sick. I don't like throwing up. I don't think anybody does. I mean, nobody throws up and goes, "Woo, that was fucking awesome," you know. But that whole sickening
feeling. It did feel like it cleaned you out. It felt like you were purging. Like literally physically purging something as you were going through
and it's
the process.
Funny because
I didn't purge very much when I went through my processes.
For every purge, it seemed to have a reward.
Yeah.
You seemed to go deeper. Do you know what I mean? As you purged, you seemed to understand yourself more and you seemed to ground more and connect more. Do you know what I mean? So then coming along, we then heard about that other chap. What was his name, Mills? Help me out.
Dick
Kahn, yeah.
That's when my first real introduction to, like I, having him on the podcast, I think I'd heard about DMT before, but I hadn't really registered. I think you probably would have registered more. You listen to Joe Rogan, you listen to them talking about that stuff a bit more often.
Yep.
For me, I hadn't really registered. And so when he talked about it, even then I was like, I didn't fully, obviously you can't fully get it until you have the experience anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't think I fully got it. I had the other plant medicine in mind when I was thinking and understanding and learning about what he had experienced. Because he'd done more than 600 DMT
trips
you know.
And documented them.
I don't know how he documented them.
But well, he obviously, I mean, from I thought he was documenting them while he was under.
But he wasn't.
But you can't possibly.
You can't.
So he was obviously coming out of it and documenting
what he remembered.
What he remembered and what he had seen. He was also producing it himself.
Was he? Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what I didn't realize is that it's in everything.
Yeah,
it's in every plant.
In the body as well,
and it's in the human liver, the human lungs, and in the brain.
Yeah.
And what I also didn't realize is that they don't know why it's in there. They don't actually know its function.
Yep.
So it doesn't have a function in the human body.
Yep.
They think its function may actually be to enhance the experience of when we die. That whole sense of leaving the physical form. That's why they think It sits dormant in the body until the body dies.
Right.
But in actual fact, no matter what research they've done, they haven't been able to work out, okay, what is the function of DMT within the human form? Why is it in the liver? Why is it in the lungs? Obviously, why it's in the brain, but why in the liver and the lungs?
It's interesting that, because it's actually quite a new, it's quite new development, like a new, like it's not that old in terms of some of the other medicines, right? Mm-hmm. The DMT, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they only, you just don't know, but I think they only figured out its use in around about the 60s or 70s. That's when they started to go, okay, well, what is this?
Yeah.
And like, it's got to make you ask yourself, well, how the fuck did they work it out? Did
somebody exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did somebody go and lick a frog or what, you know, what the fuck happened? Because how did they work it out? And I didn't realize that it was actually in everything. And I was listening to a Rogan podcast a couple of weeks ago where Joe talks about it quite a bit. And that was really where I got my interest in it, because they were talking about the experience, the sensations, what was happening. Graham Hancock talked about it a lot and what had happened for them through that experience. You know,
you found out a lot about that before you went and did it, right?
Yeah.
I didn't start looking at that till afterwards.
Oh, did you know?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what I was expecting. Right. All I knew was that...
let's go to the bush again.
Well, it's funny because all I knew was my experience talking with Dick Kahn on the podcast.
Right.
And then... To be honest, it wasn't like a massive I wasn't out searching for it.
Yeah.
But when it came my way, I have a very a clear way of knowing when something is aligned. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
and as soon as it was mentioned, I went, yep, I recognize that. That didn't take away the fact that I was nervous about it.
Yeah.
But when somebody said we could do it and it was possible and could we go, I think it was like this week.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And then other than the nervousness, which is, I think is natural, because if you're going to do something like that, I think the nerves are quite natural. And I think I'd be a bit more worried if I wasn't nervous.
Yeah.
But I didn't really have
a did you not feel as if in some way you were led to it, or were you doing it because others were doing it?
No. I was led to it and I felt like, I have a massive thing of, you like that whole FOMO missing out thing. Do you know what I mean? But that wasn't it. This was too big for something to be not clear that I wanted to do it.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Something like this, I wouldn't have done it if I was clear I wanted to do it. Uh-huh. And it felt aligned. It just felt right. And I haven't done some since, right? When other people have done it, I haven't. I've been like, nope. I'm not ready again yet.
Right.
I have gone back, but not every single time, right?
It's a funny thing. Like, you talk about ready. What does ready mean for you?
I don't know how to describe it other than maybe I think there have been moments where there's been a very clear no. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when it's not a clear no, and there's a there's either a clear yes, or there's an apprehension of sorts because you know that there's going to be some sort of shift.
Yeah.
Then I know it's a yes.
Right.
Does that make sense?
So does that shift feel as if life has been prepping you anyway?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a series of cascade of things that have occurred
the
prior.
The fact that this has happened right now is like, why is this happening right now?
Mm-hmm.
There's no mistakes in this happening right now at this time. And I, you know, I've been going through since I turned 49, I've been going through a cascade of emotions and events and stuff like that, I think, all in the lead up.
Mm.
And I've noticed that you and Ange have gone through that once you've hit your 50. I noticed that my tolerance has shifted, my energy has shifted in lots of ways, and I think that this just came at the right time.
Yeah.
So that's I just felt like, no, this is okay. I'm ready for this.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. I think 49, you know, I was listening to Diane in STP. This is after I'd done DMT. But when she, and she said it obviously for 20 years, but 49 to 56 is really that assessment time for a person. It's really where they stop and go, okay, am I okay with where everything is? Am I happy with my relationships? Am I happy with my business life? Am I happy with my financial situation? Am I happy with who I am spiritually? And overall, am I okay with me? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that I can't speak for you, but that's definitely what happened for me. After my 50th, you know, I let loose at my 50th and had a fucking great time. But after my 50th, I was really like, you know what, Mitch? If, you know, in going for life, this is going to be the chance now that you're going to do it. You're going to do it now. And I think that that has been fucking extremely transformational. And then it was, you know, and but going for life, I think, means that you have to let go of things. You have to know what it is to let go of things. You have to experience what it actually is to let go of things. And I give the analogy with people who've asked me about it, about, okay, so what do you mean by letting go? If you've got a pen in your hand and somebody tells you to let go, but you're not allowed to drop the pen, what you do is you put the pen into your other hand. You go, hey, no, look, I let go.
Drop the pen.
Well, you haven't. You basically put it into your other hand. Okay, so let go of the pen. You put it back into your other hand. You haven't actually let go. And letting go is actually dropping the pen.
Yeah.
Truly, truly experiencing that sensation of absolute let go. And what happens to you in that state when you do let go, you know, that whole, you're holding on to this physical world and this physicality for dear life because you fucking are convinced, you've been here for 49 years, you're convinced emotionally that you are this physical world, that you are here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you truly let go, you are not here. You know, and there is more real than here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to experience, okay, you need to just let go of this.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I think because we will need to talk about the experience as well, but in the lead up to it, I really noticed for you, because I was talking to you about a few things, and I really noticed that you were really making an effort. This is the biggest shift I noticed in after that first time. But you were really making an effort to understand things and to let go of certain things. And I don't know how to explain it. One of the things I said to you is that you've got to understand that some things aren't personal.
Yeah.
Right. And you, as you were experiencing life, you were acting as if you got things weren't personal, but you could see that integration hadn't quite happened. Like you were doing a lot to make those transformations. Does that make sense? But the integration hadn't quite hit. You could see that you had to be really conscious of it.
Yeah.
You know?
But what I could see was that it was a struggle,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the ego personality really is convinced that it's here,
mm-hmm.
right? And it feels that if it's not this reality, then what is it? So it feels as if it's going to die. If, you know, when you question this, it feels as if it's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So in me going to do this and going to have this experience, my nervousness was in, okay, what is going to happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
From all accounts, it's inexplainable, and from all accounts, it is a complete and utter let go. You it's like life snatches something from your hands, from your reality, but what it hands you back is something fucking pretty fucking magical.
So what do you think you were looking? So are you saying that even prior to doing this, because I don't think I understood it fully until I did it, but even prior to doing this, you were actually looking to let go? Was that an intentional?
Yeah.
You were intentional about
that? Yeah, I was like, okay, I have to let go of what is happening here. I have to just stop trying to hold on to it and just let life do what life needs to do.
Okay.
Because ultimately, you don't have any real control over it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? But when you let go, it's like you're having to let go of everything that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to do that consciously is like fucking, how the fuck do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how do you do it?
Well, that's the thing. We're trying so hard to consciously, and we've one of the things we say all the time is that you consciously can't change anything.
Mm.
Like your conscious mind has no control over what's going on. So you can try, but it's not actually going to make a difference. It's what's happening at a deep subconscious level that's actually running the show.
Well,
so if you want to have that transformation, it has to be done at a deep subconscious level, not on the conscious level.
So think about it then, because for me, to let go, I thought, well, the only way to really let go is to die. That's where we really let go. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is when we leave this physical fucking attachment.
But I will challenge that, because I think that the other place we let go is in the equilibration process.
And yeah, we do that consciously. Yeah,
well, what I mean by that is I think that you had had that experience at the equilibration process,
totally.
And you knew how to access it in that way, but this was just a different way to access that, letting go at a – the way even you describe the equilibration process is that you were let into the room of clarity and knowing for a short space and time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was a split second.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like you're literally immersed in it for a longer period of time.
Oh, yeah.
It's not long, but it's a longer period of time.
Yeah.
And that is where it's a little bit different, because in that space, the equilibration moment happens. It's in and out and it's quick. What this is, and it's done consciously, so that's where it's
well, you're doing
you're
it.
You're choosing it and it's, Whereas this is like you're lit in that room and then you're like, oh, my fucking God.
Yeah.
So how about we do this? Because we've been speaking a long time in the lead up to it.
Yeah.
Why don't we finish this here, because it's going to take us a little bit of time to explain how our experience was.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and do another session and talking about our experience. What do you think?
Sounds great.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That was good. That's even just talking about that has helped me understand a few things about, why part of what we got from the whole experience.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. We'll catch you soon.